Welcome back. You're listening to Sound Doctrine, www.sounddoctrine.org. And before the break, we were just kind of going over, sharing from my heart things that are on my mind and where I've been over these last couple weeks as far as seeking the Lord. And I just wanted to, finish up what I was talking about concerning the new friends I've made at the Kirtner and Kerr show, and encourage you to check it out. It can be found at www.cnkshow.com, and I just feel the burden for the watchmen of the Lord, the remnant, to unite with sound doctrine, as it says in Scripture. In Isaiah 29:24, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. And, you hear the argument about doctrine and about, you Christians should not bicker about your doctrinal issues. Well, I disagree with that completely. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and I'm absolutely of the mind that the bride of Christ will be completely united in doctrine and in truth. There will be no denominations. There will be no division over, the rapture, the preterists, the, post-millennial. All that stuff is just gone, out the window. The truth is what's going to prevail. This is all going to come supernaturally, and it is coming supernaturally. And as this truth spreads, it's going to be the binder, as, the binder of the walls of New Jerusalem is the truth, as opposed to the untempered mortar, metaphor we see in the Old Testament, the untempered mortar being the lies that bind together the apostate house of God. And this is my heart, and I'm telling you, it's happening, because there's a group of voices out there, and I've picked up a few of them on Kirtner and Kerr show here, that there's this common thread going on right now, as these false doctrines are truly coming down. And I know it's going to continue, because it will continue. This work the Lord is doing is written, and you can be sure that it will, so much of this understanding that we've been focused on, is coming out of like the book of Habakkuk. What he says is, their horses are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that has to eat. It's talking about the false teachers. These horsemen are the false teachers, the false religious leaders. And, but then continue on in Habakkuk chapter 2. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I mean, this stuff is written, and it's going to happen. This thing is all working itself out. This work the Lord is doing is just amazing. But I'll tell you, it's just time to get on board with it, And this work is the fact that the Lord sends this army of horsemen, 200,000, which is a metaphor for an indefinite number of false teachers that invade. This is the army from the north that comes against the true Israel of God. And this is the focus. This is where our focus needs to be in these last days. Because we hear these teachers focused on fleshly matters concerning Israel and Russia and Syria and Iraq and Babylon and all. And I'm of the mind at this time that much of that is counterfeit, that it is an attempt to interpret the scripture literally, and it's not where the Lord wants our focus. The natural man understands not the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. And these accounts in the Old Testament of the Assyrians, the Assyrian invasion, the army out of the north, the army of locusts, you know, these are metaphors and similitudes written for our admonition. And as we continue to study these profound accounts in the Old Testament for our admonition today, you know, we can find ourselves and we can find freedom and liberty in Christ through the understanding of the account of the ancient Israel as it applies to spiritual Israel today. And I'm just getting so much in this area. And I'm just here to tell you that our focus as end times Christians in the wilderness must be on avoiding deception, because this is the enemy. The enemy is not whether Iran has nuclear bombs. That is not the enemy. The enemy is the false teachers. The enemy is the lies that are coming from these false teachers. And this is where our focus is. And with that, I'm going to pick up on Daniel 70 weeks. That has been an amazing intersection, I suppose, for understanding for me. And my hope is that I've been passing it along to you as the Lord has opened up this amazing portion of Scripture. Four verses in Daniel chapter 9. It's basically the whole story. The whole story is that, you know, we came to the conclusion last, you know, fall, that the 70 weeks of Daniel is the account of Israel's preparation for the Messiah and freedom from Babylonian captivity, that ultimately concluded. And it's either, you know, do we want to say it's at the time of Stephen's stoning or the sacking of the temple in Jerusalem? I said it when we were doing the Daniel study. It just really doesn't matter. It matters, it's important, but it only matters to a certain level. As I say, we take these accounts of Old Testament Israel, and here at the time of Daniel was when the transition was happening, when we were going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and the time that the Lord gave Israel to get on board with the New Deal, you know, the New Covenant, you know, the promise that came true, the promise that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and I will write my law on their heart, on their inward part, and that a Jew will become a Jew inwardly. And circumcision is a spiritual metaphor now. Circumcised hearts are symbolic of the separated life. These teachings of Jesus, as they came into play during this transitional time. Well, this is what the account in Daniel is, the account of the 70 weeks from the Babylonian captivity, when through the fact that Daniel was reading his scripture, studying to show himself approved, saw in Jeremiah that the words of the prophet Jeremiah spoke of a 70-year time, that Daniel figured out through revelation, through understanding given to him, that this is talking about the Babylonian captivity, and that this will culminate with the Messiah, okay? But then we also noticed that when we were studying this in the fall, that with what's been done with the 70 weeks of Daniel in the church, as far as taking the 70th week and dividing it in half, and the preterist view, and all the doctrine associated with this portion of Scripture. You know, we concluded, thus saith the Lord, that the 70 weeks of Daniel came to pass during the time of Christ and after the time of Christ. And now, in the New Testament, this whole thing replaced spiritually. Clearly taught. And that we see the reference to the wall and the streets and the reference to the Old Testament building of the temple that Nehemiah was and Joshua and Zerubbabel were involved with. Hosea's prophecy came to pass in the physical, and it also applies spiritually to us as we are the lively stones building the New Testament temple, the third temple, if you will, the third temple that is not the Freemasonic rebuilding of Solomon's temple in the Middle East. That is, I submit to you, pure counterfeit of scripture truth, where so much of the church's focus is on this shell game taking place in the physical. Maybe there will be a nuke dropped on Damascus, which, by the way, is in the middle of Syria right now, where all eyes are on, as some whatever's going on in Syria right now is the Jesuit Knight of Malta crusades taking place in the Middle East. Whatever they have to do with Bible prophecy, which I submit is mostly counterfeit, you know, just to mention like the fact that the deception that I'm warning about and telling us that this is where our focus needs to be. Take example, a character like George Bush Jr., who in his presidency, you know, had pretty much everybody convinced he was a Christian. Douglas Weed, that would be a guy you'd want to, you know, understand who he was. He was a former Assembly of God preacher that taught George Bush Jr. how to speak Christianese, okay? And to this day, pretty much every church-going Christian friend of mine is still of the mind that George Bush was a good Christian, you know, oblivious to what was going on in that classroom when they told him that 3,000 souls were just sacrificed in the attack of the World Trade Center that he knew fully about and was absolutely implicated in, and the look on his face made it so clear. And you know, this idea is just so foreign to still most professing Christians out there today. This is my point, and this is who we're trying to reach. And I'm just saying, so George Bush, who would use a term like the angel of the whirlwind, one of his speeches, for example, is clearly being led by this dark spirit, you know, of, you know, the Freemasonic mystery religion thought, you know, taking full well, they know this Bible, and they know clearly what it says, and they know clearly what they were doing when they invaded Iraq, which is the modern-day Babylon, you know, as this is man attempting to rebuild the Tower of Babel. But don't forget, folks, you can't forget one thing. This is man, you know, and no matter what man does, how awesome his Hadron Collider is, and how fantastic if we went to the moon or not, or if we've got a rover actually on Mars, or if it's taking place in a studio, you know, out back behind Disney in Florida, it doesn't matter. None of that matters whatsoever. And while right now, you know, the prophetic eyes of the church, you know, the quote-unquote prophecy leaders have our eyes focused on Syria, because that's where Damascus is, and we know the scripture that says Damascus will no longer be a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. And I just, you know what I say to that? I say, whatever. What matters to me is what is the spiritual implications of that scripture, and what does it mean for me today as a spiritual Christian, a spiritual Jew, navigating my way through this time of deception, when I see the reference to the Assyrian invasion in Scripture? I know clearly this is talking about the invasion of false teachers, of Rick Warren's bringing, you know, the dialectic Marxist process into Christianity, as he attacks the sovereignty of God with his group and his facilitator leading a group of Christians, some Christians, some non-Christians, basically leavening the loaf as this process of the Hegelian dialectic taking place in these purpose-driven small groups has been the foundation of the Great Falling Away and what it's brought on as far as these. At one time, I still believe the churches were solid, preaching the true gospel of repentance, of the ultimate sovereignty of God, and our call to find our place underneath the leadership of the Father, which has been all corrupted and diluted today, as the truth of the gospel has become a product of a board meeting, of the opinions of man deciding what Scripture is saying. And if it wasn't confused enough, we've got, you know, hundreds of modern Bible translations based on heretical text that have completely leavened the Word of God, all part of the process. This is where our focus should be. And this is where the end time Christian needs to have his concern, that he avoids this deception that has come so strong that it will deceive the very elect, if possible. But God says that the elect are not deceived. His sheep hear his voice. But today, to navigate through this deception is a military effort. I mean, we've been taught since second grade to put on our full armor of God. Well, folks, do we realize the depth of that metaphor? And this is my favorite, too, where we've got this whole camp of John MacArthur's and, you know, David Jeremiah's, you know, telling us that we must interpret Scripture literally. And these guys have been teaching the full armor of God as a metaphor, you know, their whole ministry. Don't they make the connection? You know, I love the when I see John MacArthur pounding on his pulpit, telling us how the 70 weeks of Daniel is to be interpreted literally as it happened exactly like it was, you know, foretold. And rightfully so. It did happen as it was foretold. But doesn't he realize that the 70 weeks is a metaphor, okay? It wasn't 70 weeks. It was 70 weeks of years. It's a metaphor, John, okay? It's not literal. Do you get, don't you see that? And this is the absurdity of this whole thing. So then we hear, you know, I was driving down the road a couple months ago. I took a diversion taking my little girl's friend home after a sports thing at school. And I happened to go past a local church that had a big, you know, lit sign out front, prophecy conference this week. And so that caught my eye, and I said, you know, I got to go check that out. So I managed to make it for one of the sessions, you know. And here was a guy, a Moody, guy right from Moody, absolutely parroting the whole Hal Lindsey dispensational nonsense, you know, with the whole audience just mesmerized by what this guy's saying. The guy's just regurgitating the same old lies that I, you know, came to know 30 years ago when I first got saved. I was all part of this late great planet Earth, you know, frenzy when I first came to the Lord. Had no idea what, you know, what I was being subject to. But, you know, this is still the dominant, you know, thought going on out there. And this is our enemy, folks. This is the enemy. And as I say, this is a military conquest because you see the metaphor going on in the Old Testament, and that the fact that, you know, we've got our full armor of God. The first piece of armor is our loins girt with truth. Is there to come against the armor that the Gog Magog army is wearing? Okay, are you with me here? You know, in Ezekiel chapter 38, the Gog Magog war is wearing the same armor with a couple pieces missing. Most importantly, the loins are not girt with truth. Okay, you pick up on that. See, this is the stuff that we need to focus on, and that this is this army that we're fighting. It says in Daniel, a host was given him. A host is an army. And this host, this army, casts the truth to the ground. Okay? See, that's our focus, okay? And it has nothing to do with an army on the border of Israel. You know? It has nothing to do with you know, Hummers in Iraq, okay? It has everything to do with the army being fought in spiritual realms. The Gog-Magog War is a spiritual war fought with spiritual weapons. And the swords are truth and the swords are lies. Both sides have swords. And then we see so clearly the Lord giving us this gigantic signature of, you know, for I was starting to talk about the Hal Lindsey dispensational line that I was hearing at this prophecy conference. Well, the guy was sure that the locusts out of the bottomless pit were UFOs. And, you know, if you found one thing out following Sound Doctrine and Watchman Weekly over the last couple years, we know clearly that the scorpions, the locust scorpions out of the bottomless pit are the false teachers. And there's nothing more clear than the fact that we've got the figurehead of the apostate Elijah List Signs and Wonders camp, Todd Bentley, who is a disciple of Rick Joyner, Knight of Malta, Jesuit coadjutor, has got Joel's army tattooed to his chest. I mean, the Lord is so clear. You know, this battle that we're in, how much more clear could he make it? And this, folks, is where we need to have our focus, because the Lord has been so gracious to give us similitude from the Old Testament to teach us about the details of this false this invasion of false teachers that has come upon his house. And this is the very work that if he were to tell us, we wouldn't believe it. He was talking about it in Habakkuk, that he will send this army of horsemen, 200,000, an indefinite number with a signature of two factions of evil, invading his house. Why? This is his threshing instrument. This is the threshing process that he is using to separate, because this is what it's about. Jesus said, you know, think not that I've come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. You know, I've come to set mother against daughter, mother-in-law against son-in-law, and the man's enemies will be the members of his own household. You know, these are harsh, harsh words that only till now, recently, have come clear to me because I see it. Because the truth has divided my house, my physical house, you know, my coming to the truth, speaking the truth into my seeker-friendly, purpose-driven model church, ended up in a divorce. My wife, you know, whose family was a, you know, were pillars in this Quaker, seeker-friendly oriented church. It was just too much for her to bear. Her husband, you know, coming against leadership, against the authority of the elders and the pastors, you know, and it's split my family in two. My wife of 18 years, you know, this has been not easy. This has not been easy. You know, but I said earlier, you know, the hail sweeps away the lies. And the only thing that's gotten me through this time has been the truth. And, you know, we've taught many times, you know, the passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 26. Come, my people, enter into thy chamber and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Well, you know, the Lord gave me a glimpse of that thing a couple of years ago, and it's only continued to be refined and refined and become more and more profound as I knew that this chamber was the truth. You know, I knew that abide in Christ, abide in the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And don't make lies your refuge, which is exactly where this study's heading. And the next study is going to be the covenant with death and hell that we see in Isaiah chapter 28, which is also the covenant with the Assyrians that is referenced in the Old Testament, that is a type and shadow of the covenant that the Christians make with the false teachers, you know, believing these lies. But as I say, this passage in Isaiah 26, enter into thy chamber, shut thy door about thee. Well, that chamber is the truth. And we're hiding to protect, the Lord is protecting us until the indignation is overpassed. And this is where I'm going to end up today with this study, in that it dawned on me, if everything that we're teaching is true, and the stuff that the Lord's showing us, and then to take, I'm fortunate enough to be kind of an engineering kind of guy, and I look at things logically, and I'm able to troubleshoot problems in a car, follow a train of thought. And basically, I apply that to Scripture, and if this is true, well, then this is true. And if that's true, then this is true. And when I've done that, it's been, there's that term called cognitive dissonance, when two opposing views collide in your mind. And this is the deer in the headlight look that we see from people that we tell them that, 911 was a, inside job or whatever, and that blank stare you get. Well, that's what's happening there, is the two opposing views are just, short-circuiting in a person's mind. Well, this is what happens with false doctrine that we've been so ingrained with for so long. And when the truth of Scripture collides with this false doctrine that's so deeply ingrained in our minds, there's a collision, there's a short circuit, there's lightning. But this is what we have to overcome. And I came to the conclusion that if we see that the locusts have been released from the bottomless pit, clearly, that the false teachers of the locusts, and we see that the bottomless pit is opened at the end of the 1,000 years. Okay, well, and if that's true, and we see that this false teaching is happening right now, that means that the indignation of the Lord is happening right now. And that's what I'm teaching. And I'm teaching that we're in the tribulation. The tribulation is this false doctrine. It is not Syria and their nukes. It's the false teaching. It's the indignation, and we're called by the Lord to enter into thy chamber and shut thy door about thee. This is our quiet place, our place of refuge, that we study ourselves and show ourselves approved. And this is where we need to be, folks, until for this little moment, which ties into the bottomless pit, because we see that the bottomless pit is open for a little season where Satan is allowed, he's released to deceive the nations again. And I'm telling you, this is this little moment that we're in right now. And where are we going to go from here? Good question. But as the Lord leads, this is Chris Ardern. And until next time, goodbye.
In the dust again. Oh God, pride of man. searching treasure, wide and faint.